you will do the tough things first every day, you will increase your productivity by 20%.
Ray Zinn now imparts his management philosophy in Tough Things First. In this series, Zinn covers it all, from the essence of human happiness.
If we're going to be successful, we have to take control of our own prosperity.
And the essence of entrepreneurial discipline.
Education unlocks the door. It's experience that will help you succeed.
People said, well, don't sweat the small things. Well, I guarantee if you don't sweat the small things, the big things are going to become a mess.
Now here's Ray Zinn, Silicon Valley's longest serving CEO.
Rob Artigo here, former Bay Area radio personality and your host for this edition of the Tough Things First podcast with Ray Zinn. He's the longest serving CEO in Silicon Valley history. Hi, Ray.
Hi, Rob. Good to be with you.
Ray, looking at page 26 of your first Zen of Zen book, Zen of Zen 1, it says, quote, you wrote this, get it right and don't be bamboozled by others. Think it through. Does it make sense? We are inundated by the news media and other sources that try to influence our views and opinions. You need to make sure what you are hearing is based on facts and not opinions made to sound like facts. That sounds like good advice, Ray.
Yeah, that's that one got a lot of responses on when we wrote that one. Mm. It's like being confused with AI. You know, AI can tend to overload us with too much information. And when we get overloaded, of course, it's like an engine. If you overload an engine, you're going to blow it up. So, having the right amount of information that's been vetted properly is the key to making the right decision.
It is a, when you look at it this way, there are so many avenues now for information. And even AI, which I've noticed is that sometimes you are looking for some detail on something. AI spits back some information to you. It all makes perfect sense. But if you don't check the details in it, you might find that it's, because it doesn't really discriminate against sources very often. It'll find something on the internet, and I'll see it as, oh, there's some evidence associated with this that says this is a fact. When really the evidence is only, you know, siloed echo chamber fact, just people saying, oh yeah, that's correct. And then and AI might give you a sentence or two that is not true. For example, like quoting a law, like, schmo versus schmo, as case law, and you look it up and there's no such thing. It might even give you a number and there's no such thing. Somebody just pulled it out or made it up, you know? So it's hard to determine in today's day, particularly with, think about it, with the deep fakes out there, the AI videos that people can make, the AI images that all you have to do is suggest to Grok, for example, put a crown on Trump's head or something like that, and then it'll create an image that looks realistic. It's hard to tell. You have to be discerning. That's where you take your personal responsibility to determine what's accurate and what's not.
Yes, an opinion is an unsubstantiated fact, and because you try to make your opinion sound like they're factual, and that's not correct. So you question everything. Unless you have personal knowledge, you should question everything and dig into it and vet it and make sure that it is accurate and properly reflects the information you're trying to decide upon.
You know, when I'm doing research for anything I'm writing or creative work I'm working on, what AI does, and obviously AI is important because it comes up so often in our podcasts, but what AI does for me is it cuts down my research time. I can type in a prompt and say, name a couple of Americans who contributed, to American leadership, but aren't often heard of in modern times. And then it'll spit out a few names. And then it'll tell me the sources on those. And I can go to those sources and look at them and say, is this what I'm looking for? And so that's what you're talking about here is whatever it is, you can go find a source, and you can go find an original source on something. And sometimes a quote is, you know, not attributable to anybody. It's not, doesn't mean it's not a legitimate quote. It just doesn't have a, you know, it's so old that the actual origin of it is unclear, but it's a, you know, doesn't mean it's not a fact.
Well, you know, I recently wanted to find out who was the president of the United States during the First World War. And that was William Howard Taft.
Yeah, right.
Before, I would had to look that up. I'd had, you know, as a kid, I had a set of encyclopedias that, you know, covered a whole bookshelf. And I would have, it would have taken me hours, not hours maybe, but it'd take me, you know, at least a couple hours to go find out, get that information. Unless, of course, you're a student of that, you know, then you know right where to go in the encyclopedia. But now, all I got to do is just ask the computer. I said, who was the president during the Second War or during the First World War? And within 2 seconds, it gave me his name.
Yeah.
You're right. Yeah. You can learn a lot more information more quickly with the search process that we have now available to us. Like I wanted to know what the speed, how fast an F-22 would go. And it took me 2 seconds to find that out, where it wouldn't even been in the encyclopedia back when I was a kid, that kind of information. So, yes, we have information. We got to make sure it is factual, that there is good reference material to back up that information. We are able to do more and learn more quickly than we could, 30 or 40 years ago.
The one word that you could ask a college student today and they wouldn't be able to define it for you is the word glossary.
Yeah, that's true.
Looking in the back of the book for a word, then finding out how many pages it's on, and then finding, like, the encyclopedia thing is a great example.
Yeah.
People don't buy encyclopedias. It used to be like a big investment people, you know, families would make, is they would buy a new set of encyclopedia because their kids are going to school, and they expecting that they would have sources of really good information right out on the shelf there. Now that's obsolete.
Yep. It is. Yeah.
Same for law books and that kind of thing. Well, Ray, I appreciate the conversation. We have so many great topics here on the Tough Things First podcast. Listeners should be aware of the fact that they should be rating this podcast on their favorite platform. And again, give us our thumbs up, 4 stars or 5 boxes of popcorn, whatever it is that they have, what kind of rating system they have there. And join us once again for our next podcast here on Tough Things First. Your questions are welcome at toughthingsfirst.com. Follow Ray on X, Facebook, and LinkedIn. And of course, pick up Ray's books. The first one is the amazing Tough Things First. You also have the series Zen of Zen 1, 2, and 3. And on sale now, The Essential Leader, 10 Skills, Attributes, and Fundamentals That Make Up the Essential Leader, a bestseller on Amazon. Thank you, Ray.
Thank you.
You've been listening to the Tough Things First podcast. Proud to introduce Ray Zinn's new book, The Essential Leader, 10 Skills, Attributes, and Fundamentals That Make Up the Essential Leader. Available in paperback and digital formats at retailers everywhere. And don't forget Ray's other books, Tough Things First and the Zen of Zinn series. Join us again for another edition of the Tough Things First podcast.